The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
All are welcome. We're glad you found us. Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Are you ready to create a life that's intentional and dynamic? Welcome to The Intentional Spirit with your host, Reverend Temple Hayes.
It must be Wednesday again. It must be the middle of the week. It just feels like it. Jeff and I, we would say we've been at this for how long, Jeff?
12 years.
12 years or more here at The Intentional Spirit. And we just, I'm telling you, the joy and pleasure of just being with all of you all these years. It's just so wonderful. And what I love about this show is I love learning. And every time we have some incredible guests, I go, wow, that's over the top. And it's just been, I tell you, it's so much more than a show. It's an experience. And it's a great experience with just intentional people. And you know what I say all the time is that there's a big difference between people who are intentional and people who have goals or visions. All those things are very important. But intentional people understand that their life and the things that happen in their life somewhat shape shift them, often to the work that they're doing in the world. And I think we're in for a big treat today as we talk about the trust frequency. And our guests today are Andrew Cameron Bailey and Connie Baxter Marlowe. You've got to go to their website. Let me tell you that not only are they bright, they're as cute as they can be. So go to thetrustfrequency.net. Welcome to the show, Andrew and Connie. Thank you for being here.
Hey, Temple. Thanks for the beautiful introduction.
Yes, and we're thrilled to be here with you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, I've really been looking forward to this conversation, and no, I don't say that every week. Trust is a big word for me. As a human being, it's been a big word of, you know, trusting the larger picture of creation and doing my best to stay out of the way. But one of the things I said a couple of weeks ago is that I spent a lot of my life working around who I could trust, you know, or what system I could trust or what organization I could trust, you know. And I came to realize that there was one formula that I needed when it came to trust, and that was that I could trust myself and really own that, you know. And then from there, everything else has a way of working out. So I was just like, oh, I want to hear what you have to say, your work, Andrew grew up in South Africa. Connie, you're involved with the visionaries. You're just my kind of people, Native American elders. Just how in the world did the two of you find each other and how did this work unfold? I want to know everything you can tell us.
Well, thank you, Temple. And I just wanted to say, as you said, about trusting yourself. Remember, Obi-Wan Kenobi said, trust your feelings, Luke. Well, there you go. Trusting in your own heart, your own feelings is so important. And we give the tools for people to be able to do that, in fact, and actually walk it and be it and do it. So I just wanted to throw that in as a little lead-in. But you asked how we met. Is that how you
absolutely want to or any direction you want to go? This is your show and I'm part of it. So just tell us all about your work and how the two of you came to be and all of that. Absolutely.
Little story time, Carney. Yeah. How did we meet? Can you remember?
Well, I'll tell you, Temple. I actually trusted the universe. I watch the signs from the universe. That's how I live my life. It could be called a spirit-guided life. And I had a big choice to make whether I was going to journey from New England down to the Omega Institute to a conference that I had been invited to attend. or go off on a weekend with the grandsons of Ralph Waldo Emerson. And I had to make a choice, and I watched the sign, and I made the choice to go to the Omega Institute, to a gathering of shamans there, a gathering of wisdom keepers. And there was Andrew. How did you get there, Andrew?
And I had been working with a group of Siberian shamans for the prior, perhaps just about a month. I had met them in the Hamptons. I raised my children out in Eastern Long Island, and I'd gone on a journey, and my former wife picked me up at the airport, and as we were driving back to the house, she said, by the way, there's some Siberian shamans in West Hampton Beach this weekend. Mm-hmm. I said, that sounds just about right, doesn't it? Are you going? She said, I don't think so. I said, you know, I'm going to go to that. What a life-transforming thing that was, because firstly, it was a three-day retreat with these extraordinary people. I just experienced and witnessed some literal miracles. I saw things and felt things I had not seen and felt before. And when it was over, I said to them, how do I find you again? You know, do you live in Siberia? They said, we're on the road. They said, the next time we're going to be anywhere near here, there's this place called the Omega Institute in upstate New York. And I happened to be a kind of founding member of the Omega Institute going back to the early 70s, which dates me. And I went, and with this particular group of Siberians who were participating in this workshop called the Gathering of the Wisdom Keepers, and came in. I was early, sat down, big circle. I think there were 110 participants, and I sat on a chair, a tall stool. And I remember just sitting there cross-legged, and there was half a dozen people in the room. And closed my eyes and was just being present. And when I opened my eyes, there was this rather striking woman directly opposite me in the circle. And when the kind of the MC shaman, he's a what would you call uncle?
Well, his name's Uncle. He's from Iceland. And
he's from Greenland.
Greenland,
yeah,
I guess.
Yeah, he's an Inuit, so he's what we might call an Eskimo. Extraordinary man. And okay, he's got this great big drum, and he's starting to make some noise, and there are some other interesting-looking people from all over the world there. There were a total, I think, of eight leaders of this workshop. And he opens by asking a question. He points directly at the woman who I'd noticed across, and he said, what's your name? And she said, Connie. He said, I have a question for you. What is the definition of healing? And what did you reply?
Well, I thought about it a bit, and I said, the restoration of balance.
I noticed her, and I noticed that. Yeah, so that's how, that was that moment, you know, 100 feet apart across a circle.
Yeah, and I had already noticed him sitting there in that that stool cross-legged. So I think it was a divinely orchestrated event that he and I were to meet, because we share so much of from our past of being interested in consciousness, in the evolution of consciousness of humanity. Not everybody is focused on such a thing. And when he told me his story, and I discovered that in his 20s, he had a foundation called the Sananda Foundation that had to do with human consciousness and what was it going to take to have us shift into our true potential in our hearts. And I'm like, wow, this is the guy for me. And he'd also spent extensive time with visionary native elders, which I had for the past 30 years been in association with various visionary native elders that had totally transformed my life as far as my understanding of the nature of the universe. And that's the work that we do. Our book, The Trust Frequency, 10 Assumptions for a New Paradigm, has to do with the nature of the universe, how the universe works. When once we understand how the universe works, that it's a conscious, loving universe, it's all love. And we solve the paradoxes that keep us from actually walking in alignment with that knowing. Then that knowing is deep in our hearts. We've just been involved, enmeshed in a system of thinking and resulting systems, economic systems, educational systems that were formed in a lower frequency. I believe that the Earth has been in a lower frequency, and all races, all people have been responding to a lower frequency energy. And that's so ultimately there's no one to blame. There's no shame, no blame. We've done a great job as humanity in these 3D suits that we're walking on Earth in. And we've been transmuting all that fear and all those ideas of separation, of scarcity that we've been enmeshed in all these years, these millennia. And I saw through these Native people the way the universe works. You know, the giveaway is so essential in the Native way. And, okay, so if you're going to give something away, that means you're not hoarding. You know there's something coming. There's something more. You don't need to hoard. And so through that, I saw the abundant universe and understand that it is an abundant universe in a higher frequency. Unfortunately, the Earth's moving into a higher frequency. So we're accessing those aspects of our hearts and knowing as we're responding to a higher energy.
And Temple, you opened by mentioning the difficulty, the struggle it is to trust, to know who to trust, what to trust, when to trust, how much to trust. And quite honestly, and then you said, but then you learn to trust yourself, and that is a huge blessing. But there, to me, there is something so vastly beyond myself, which is, I like to call it simply the loving universe. So I like to just
Definitely.
Yeah, four words, trust the loving universe. Because can I trust myself? Well, I'll tell you what, if I'm operating on erroneous assumptions about the nature of the universe, and I think the neighbors are dangerous, and I think there's not enough, and I believe in scarcity, actually, I don't think I can trust myself. And the only thing I can trust, and it's a process, I can learn to trust the loving universe. And having written this book back in 2012, it's extraordinary writing a book, because once you've done that, you really do have to walk the talk. And it truly is transformative once you just go, okay, every single thing that occurs in my life occurs for me, not to me. It's here for me. I trust that, even if it's painful, even if it's not what I would have chosen, to trust that, to just really, really put one's total dependence on what Connie likes to call circumstance, which we think of as an external thing. Something happened to me from the outside. Well, there is no outside. Something acted in a way that was not loving. Well, there is nothing but love. It's a stretch. It's different. But boy, does it help.
Oh, I love that. Well, you know, you just described when you talk about, you know, the external realm or other things and it all being for us and all that, you're describing the New Thought, you know, Science of Mind, Unity, Barbara Marks Hubbard, you know, all that on the collective teaching. What I love about, in addition to that, the work that you're representing is where I went on my path. Not that I'm needing to compare my story with yours at all, but I have a story about Omega too. So maybe there ought to be a club. Those of us that Omega changed the course of our lives, so we would fit into that. But that being said, the shamanic realm, I'm a shamanic practitioner, trained shaman in that way, and love Sandra Ingerman, and, you know, have been connected with her. And I love the richness of what you're bringing. It's such a journey. And then to get to a place where I say often, the world isn't broken and we're not broken. We're just so programmed. You know, it's not that I'm trying to be like you or one up you in any way. I'm just saying, I'm very moved by your work because it's from the heart and it's not just
conceptual, you know, and yet one more, you know, book about good information and, you know, tools to live by. But there's such depth to what you're saying, and it's a beautiful world. And it upsets me when leaders call the world crazy and, you know, and all those things, because if the world is not broken, we're not broken. We're just programmed to believe that something's missing. Anyway, back to you. Back to you, Scotty. Everyone, I'm talking to Andrew and Connie. You can go to the trustfrequency.net. They have spent their lives together making a difference in the world, bringing films, bringing books, teaching people to lessen some of the paradigms they have learned and those assumptions. So I'm so glad you're here.
Well, we're so happy to be here because we're so resonant with your work and with Unity and the New Thought churches and stuff. We've spoken at many of them. We've actually spoken at what I call Unity Central in Unity Village. And done a workshop there. So we're just thrilled to be with you in this resonant field of this kind of thinking. And I'm sure your audience is resonant, and hopefully we can add something to their understanding. And one thing we do is we ask people, we have these 10 assumptions, we have these definitions and 10 assumptions for a new paradigm. And we ask people to take them as absolute true for an exercise. We're not saying they are absolutely true, but for an exercise, if one takes the idea that there is only love, okay? If you take that as absolutely true, then your thinking changes entirely because nothing can be not love. Everything is love. Okay? So what we help people understand is that the nature of that love is unconditional. It gives us everything we ask for. Okay, what are our requests to this conscious loving universe of unconditional love? Well, we say it's our consciousness. And we have seven aspects of our consciousness that that begin with the letter A, that there are many more aspects of our consciousness, but these seven A's, we call them the seven A's of consciousness, that are our request to the universe. Now, that is one way of putting it, are our request to the conscious loving universe. The other way of putting it is, it's pure physics. It's vibration. Since everything is energy, and we're energy, and what we're bringing to the table, I believe, is that the different vibrational levels, the different frequencies have different laws. And so as we shift our vibratory level or our frequency, we actually enter a different reality. And once we understand that, we have control of our lives. Right now, we're operating on misinformation. We're operating on a scientific paradigm that separated us from our hearts, from our spirits, from the rest of creation that desperately wants us to connect with it, the trees and the rocks and the flowers and the animals, all that. They're waiting now as we're getting closer and closer. They're just waiting for us to join them, and like the native people, the indigenous peoples have done forever. They know that it's it's alive. All of creation is alive and has a spirit and is here for us because it loves us, because there's only love. So Andrew, do you have anything you want to add? And then I'll say the seven A's in a sentence.
Well, I just, you know what occurred to me?
Yeah, go on.
There's a quote from Henry David Thoreau that really expresses what Connie was just talking about. Would you tell us? I know you know that quote very well.
Yeah, well, this is a kingpin in our whole thinking different frequencies and different realities. Henry David Thoreau, I'm sure you know, and I'm sure your audience knows who he is, that fine gentleman who went to Walden Pond for 2 years, 2 months, and 2 days. we often speak at the Thoreau Society because we're bringing the mystical Thoreau to the table, and his involvement with the Native Americans, his understanding, because once we all get to that mystical level and we see through this illusion of that we're in at this level, we see another reality, and he could see that the Native people could see what he could see. So meanwhile, this quote that Andrew's referring to is, he says in the conclusion to Walden, in the back of the book, in the conclusion, he says, I learned this, at least by my experiment, the 2 years, 2 days, and 2 months at Walden Pond, that when one walks confidently in the direction of his dreams, he will pass a certain boundary. He will experience things unexpected in common hours. The laws that apply to him will be expanded, or new laws will be made in his favor, and he will live with the license of a higher order of beings. And that told me, hey, guess what? The laws are expanded in higher frequency when we trust, when we walk confidently in the direction of our dreams. We will have a different reality. And that's the reality that we have called the trust frequency. And we give people the tools for accessing it, because we actually have to walk it, Temple. We can't just think it. We can't just hope for it. We actually have to walk it to get into that frequency. So we have our seven A's in one sentence. So I'll say them in one sentence. These seven aspects.
Let me quickly give away the first A. If you go to the dictionary and you look up the word consciousness, you will find a word beginning with the letter A. And that word, of course, is awareness. In fact, the dictionary is very simple. I'm very brief on the subject. It simply says consciousness is awareness. And if you go and look up awareness, it says awareness is consciousness. But there are a lot more attributes and aspects of consciousness than just awareness. Obviously, if we're not aware, we're not conscious, we have no idea of what's going on. However, let's go to Connie's sentence. We started out like, okay, let's really, we were at a conference where somebody in the audience said to these illustrious scientists up on the stage there in Santa Monica, and the question was, could you please define consciousness? And you know what? They could not. They simply failed to do that. They just looked at each other and they were blank. These consciousness-oriented superstars.
At the what the bleep do we know?
Yeah. I called it the Bleep Fest. It was a post. You remember the film, What the Bleep Do We Know? I didn't want to say all that and give away. Poor guys, you know, because nobody knows. The scientists, nobody's been able to define consciousness. So we said, well, there's got to be words in our language. So it turned out that there are a whole lot of words in the English language that begin with the letter A that are specifically related to consciousness. And Connie's put them all together into a single sentence.
Okay, so here they are. Okay, here we go. With expanded, and one has to listen to the qualifying words before the A's, because those are key. With expanded awareness and accurate assumptions, we choose our attitude, consciously direct our attention, align with our highest inner promptings, take committed action, and allow the loving universe to manifest beyond our wildest dreams.
You can tell we've done that one before.
I love that.
So,
I love that. That's so powerful.
It's a little toolkit for it. One can check their seven A's any time of the day or night, standing in the grocery line, or when we get up in the morning, we can say, okay, where are my seven A's today? because it's pure physics, Temple. It's vibratory level. It's frequency. But we couch it in the conscious, loving universe.
It's so beautiful what the two of you are creating and actually have, you know, continued to create together. It's just, it is about frequency, isn't it? And I love that your website is the Trust Frequency. Everyone, it's thetrustfrequency.net. And we're talking today with the incredible Andrew Cameron Bailey and Connie Baxter Marlowe. And those aren't just words. It's not improv management. They truly are creating incredible work and doing amazing things. I want to thank all of you for tuning in. I want to remind you of being at Unity Village at the last weekend of August. And we are going to be doing some shamanic work there. It's going to be a very unique retreat. And so I urge you to come. I'm going to be sharing some of these things I've had the grace of learning through the years with my shamanic Celtic teacher. And that being said, thank all of you for your interest, letting us know the kind of shows you want to watch, what you hear, what you want to tune into. We love hearing from you and knowing where you're at. And so we'll be right back after this short break.
We are spiritual beings having a human experience. Welcome to Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
Welcome back to The Intentional Spirit with Reverend Temple Hayes.
Everyone, and thank you. Please visit me at templehayes.com or ILLE.org, the Institute for Leadership and Lifelong Learning, and find out about spiritual leadership and other practical applications for living today. And so I'm just thrilled to be talking with Andrew Cameron Bailey and Connie Baxter Marlowe, and they have created the concept along with many other things called the Trust Frequency. Please go to their website, thetrustfrequency.net. And Connie, you were going to share some of the exciting things that the two of you are offering and things you have coming up. So take it.
Yeah. Well, we've been talking about the trust frequency, and we apply the principles of the trust frequency to our relationships. So it's an embodied practice and that leads to an understanding of the importance of all of our relationships to show us our light and our shadow, those parts of ourselves we don't yet love. And so this course is called The Dance of Souls, The Relationship Revolution, and you can access information about it on our website. It's on Humanity's team, Humanity's Stream, their master class learning platform. And also it's going to be available on Thinkific soon. We've just switched over from a Barbara Marx Hubbard learning platform that lived for a year but has dissolved at this point. Barbara, having been a very close friend of ours at Sunrise Ranch, we home base at Sunrise Ranch in Loveland, Colorado, and Barbara spent her last 2 years there. So we were very fortunate to be in very close friendship with her there. But this course it takes our first four assumptions, the fact that there's only love, that love is unconditional, it gives us everything we ask for. So free will is a key player in this whole thing for us to understand that we came here when we gave an overarching act of free will. When we incarnated, this is our construct, okay? This is our understanding, that we gave this overarching act of free will when we incarnated onto earth to go on this journey to wholeness, this journey to self-love and self-acceptance and alignment with our divinity and our purpose. That's a big job we came here to do. And there's no shame, no blame on what our life has turned out like, because some people came for experiences that we call not love. But in this construct where there's only love, we have to come to understand, or if we accept these axioms or these assumptions, you know, absolutely only love. Okay, how can that be love? All the things we see as not love in our relationships as well as world circumstances, etc. But if we take it as absolutely true, it has to be love. And that flips everything. We call it the big flip from victim, perpetrator, good and evil, right and wrong, all that stuff that we're enmeshed in this lower frequency. When we get beyond that and get into that field Rumi talks about, that field beyond right doing and wrong doing, we'll meet you there. You know, he said, I'll meet you there. Well, there is a field, and that's a vibratory level that's beyond this victim perpetrator place. And so our course takes into understanding that we gave this overarching act of free will to go on this journey to love all of ourselves, not just the pieces that people want to see, you know, that society has said, yes, you're a good boy and you're a good girl and you've shown up and you've given the teacher what she wants to hear and you've, you know, you've done your curtsy and you've done your very polite thing and you're okay and you've got a happy smile on, so you're okay. Well, guess what? There's a lot that's underneath all that hasn't been acknowledged, because we want to be accepted. And so we have a course that helps us deal with seeing that what our defense mechanisms are, that we've covered up these shadow pieces, these parts of ourselves we don't love yet, and go through exercises and just help us pierce through and become conscious. See, that's the key, is to become conscious of our behavior, because we have triggers and we're stuck in our triggers. And to see those triggers as just that they're covering something we don't want to look at, that others don't want to see. We don't want others to see. Do you have any thoughts on that, Andrew? We've been in the dance of souls for 18 years now.
Yeah, yes, you have. Congratulations.
Thank you. Yeah, that event at Omega will be 18 years ago this October. And it's something to celebrate. It's extraordinary. And relationships are challenging, no matter how enlightened we think we are, no matter how much work we've done, no matter how many previous marriages we've had and think we've got it all worked out and now we're clear and we don't have to do that anymore. Well, guess what? There's always deeper layers. And so these are tools to realize the actual value of relationships. They actually have a purpose. I am in relationship with everything from God or the loving universe, whatever you want to call that universal energy. I'm in relationship with Connie. I'm in relationship with my children, my friends, the entire community that I'm a part of. I'm in relationship with the planet that I'm a part of. I'm in relationship with the climate of this planet, for example. So relationship is critically important to understand its purpose, its function, and how challenging relationships often are. So once we come to understand that there's a purpose to, if I attract someone into my life who's really annoying, just to take a classic example, why did I attract that circumstance into my life? Because I had something to learn, perhaps. Perhaps I had some place to grow that I haven't gone yet.
There's no perhaps about it, my darling.
Okay. I just want to give the benefit of the doubt to anybody.
No doubt. See, doubt is the Achilles heel of the trust frequency.
Yeah.
No doubt.
Doubt and trust can't live in the same house. Yeah, exactly. So I think the most important thing in our work actually is in the title of the book. We have a book called The Trust Frequency, and the subtitle is 10 Assumptions for a New Paradigm. So a new paradigm. A paradigm is a set of assumptions. An assumption is a belief that we hold to be true without ever questioning it. So there are those who say, don't make assumptions. Assumptions make an ass out of you and me. Well, we all make assumptions, and all of us inherited deeply held cultural assumptions from the family we were born into, for example, from our ministers, from the culture we live in to this day, from our friends at school, whatever it was. We have this set of assumptions, and because many of those assumptions are firstly erroneous, they're wrong. Somebody made them up a long time ago, and they may have had some relevance once, but they're not relevant today. Secondly, they're unconscious. They're deep in our souls, and they're generations deep, meaning that they control very often our beliefs, our actions, our worldview. And until we bring them to the surface and hold them up to the light of day, we are going to act inappropriately. We just can't be fully evolved human beings until we have really examined our fundamental assumptions about the nature of reality. So one thing we'd like you to note, it was 10 assumptions. The first working title of the book was actually The 10 Assumptions. I'd heard of the 10 Commandments. Well, 10, that's a good number. 10 Assumptions, okay. And then it became The Trust Frequency, 10 Assumptions for a New Paradigm. By examining and changing our assumptions, we can actually move ourselves. It's a shift in consciousness into literally a new paradigm, a new belief system. And at some point, I'd like to just quickly go through the 10 assumptions. There could be 115 assumptions. It's an arbitrary figure, but boy, just 10 changes everything.
Well, just go right ahead is what I say.
Well, and when he mentioned ministers, dear Reverend, he wasn't speaking of unity ministers. We love unity ministers, the evolved minister.
Hey, I started subscribing to the Daily Word probably 40 or 45 years ago. So, yeah.
But me too. Unity does great work, that's for sure.
Yeah. There are ministers. Ministers have powerful influences on people. And some of the ministers out there today, I look at them and go, well, I'm sorry, but I just don't believe the way you believe. And that's one of the challenges is, you know, there are so many different belief systems and what is true and what is real. It's not easy.
Yeah. And also we have an ebook, a free ebook, that is accessible on our website, thetrustfrequency.net. Right. So anybody can go there and we will send you a link to the free ebook, which is called The Conscious Loving Universe, a Guidebook. And it's actually a synopsis of the Trust Frequency book. It's a little preparatory thing for the Trust Frequency book, which Andrew actually wrote the book and he wanted to write a pop book that was accessible to people, and it's very accessible. So it's not a heavy tome of information, but it does bring quantum science into the picture because it's a scientific paradigm that has separated us from ourselves, the old scientific paradigm, and the new science, breakthrough science, is proving what the indigenous peoples have known for millennia, that we're all connected, that we're not only connected, we're one. We're one consciousness, and they actually are coming up with an understanding of consciousness, that it's all consciousness, and that we're consciousness, and it's the universe is consciousness, and it's we're all one. And so that's we bring it in, the science in, just to help people, that Western mind, to be able to say, all right, science is proving it, so I can go there, and. So I just wanted to mention that. And shall we go through the 10 assumptions? We only have like 10 minutes left. So I don't know if we should go through the 10 assumptions or if we should mention our our work that we're doing around the founding of this nation, the United States of America, that's in such a mess right now. But a mess is a good thing.
The United States of America, somehow people stop noticing the first word. Right now it feels like the separation States of America. But anyway, there you go. So wherever you want to go, it's your time. So use it as you feel guided.
Now, this is a whole other subject, and it's a truly wonderful subject. It's very inspiring, and it's related.
Yeah, very related, because what I got 30 years ago, I got that what's next in the evolution of consciousness of humanity is that we're going to come to understand what the indigenous peoples know about the nature of the universe. And this work that we're doing around the founding of this nation, the spiritual founding of this nation, is that there were syntheses between the Europeans and the American Indian, the Native Americans, that actually gave birth to this nation. And until we bring the Native American, until the Native American stands proudly at the founding of this nation with the founding fathers, with the Mayflower Pilgrims, you know, we stand firmly together and say, yes, we came together and we gave birth to something. And that is the United States of America. That in this freedom documents of this nation, we made a great promise to the world. And people have swarmed to these shores because of that promise. And that promise is our birthright. The American dream, the true American dream, is our birthright of liberty and justice and equality and abundance for all. So we bring that forth and bring forth the first, what we call the first great synthesis that occurred in Plymouth, Massachusetts. Well, it wasn't Massachusetts at the time. In Plymouth Colony, between the Europeans, the Mayflower Pilgrims, who were the separatists who separated from the King of England and the Church of England and committed treason to do that. They met with the Native Americans, Massasoit, the Massasoit of the Wampanoag Indians, And they formed a mutual protection treaty at their first meeting exactly 400 years ago this year in 1621. And that three-day multicultural harvest celebration that they had for 3 days together in the fall of 1621 is what we call the first Thanksgiving. It's been so trashed by revisionist history that the whole founding of this nation has been the focus has become on the shadow aspects of it, and we focus on the light, what we've done together, because as we go forward together, we're going to give birth to something else that's new, that's never been on this planet before. So we wanted to show the boots on the ground aspects of what we have done together in our hearts. And there was a second great synthesis when the Iroquois League of Nations and the Iroquois Great Law became part of the U.S. Constitution. So what we're saying now is there's going to be a third great synthesis. Not only going to be, there is a third great synthesis happening right now as the climate crisis has brought the indigenous peoples to the forefront, because we're seeing that what we've created isn't working. And our separation from the rest of creation isn't working. And so now we're calling forth the native people to say, okay, now what do we do? Okay, and so that's the third great synthesis that's occurring now. So that's another big piece of our work that people can access on our website, first50years.us, first50years.us. And you can actually get to it from our trustfrequency.net. But I just wanted to mention that because it's so important right now, this year, this fall is going to be the 400th anniversary of that three-day multicultural harvest celebration. I mean, phenomenal exception to the human condition happened right there in Plymouth as those folks came together, and it began 54 years of peace and friendship there in Plymouth Colony between the native people and the pilgrims. So I just wanted to mention that. How are we doing?
I think your you're temple. Just impressing everyone. That's why it's so quiet. You're doing great. Your passion and one of the things I was allured by, and it came out, you know, in a movie, of course, it's so popular. You were saying that you lived the as nomads, and was that part of a plan? Did it just you woke up one day and went, "This is the way to go," or before, after? Are you so much happier living the way you live now? I mean, I feel there's a curiosity about that. I know there's many things that we can talk about, but that was one thing I was curious about, because I think that's so becoming more and more, you know, what people are interested in.
Well, let me tell you one thing, that movie Nomadland, don't go see it. It's a depressing movie that has nothing to do with our lifestyle, which is that we go where we're called. I was never made for living in houses. So I raised my kids. I had a van. I had a home, but I had a van. It was my ticket to ride, my kids' ticket to freedom of their spirit. We could go. We spent a lot of time at Hopi Land. We spent a lot of time out and about, okay? So it's, and now Andrew and I, we call ourselves nomadic because we go where we're called. And I got lucky because this guy that I met at Omega likes to live in a van and had built and designed and built our Sprinter van. So, Andrew, what do you have to say on the matter?
So, yeah, I do agree with Connie about that film. Ultimately, it's depressing. It's not about particularly...
Yeah, she didn't seem happy, did she? Yeah, we may have. Okay. Well, I'll keep talking until they call back. I just love their work. It's so vast too. This is one of those cases, everyone, that an hour isn't long enough. So I want to reiterate to go to the trustfrequency.net and change your assumptions, and the world changes with you. Sounds to me like a such in tune with the unity message, that's for sure. And what's interesting and what I love about life is that we're getting the opportunity to do just that, aren't we, Jeff? where our guests have dropped off in some frequency, and so here we are. And Jeff, why don't you ask me a question and I'll answer it? You can ask me anything.
What are your future plans with any kind of events or retreats?
Oh, well, I am very excited about this retreat, coming back to the village. It's been a long time. I love the music of Stowe Good, Karen Taylor Good, and Stowe Daly and Mark Fuss. And this kind of originated on the cruise of when we were together with the Unity Cruise with Unity Worldwide Headquarters. And it was just like, oh, let's just do a retreat at the village. So we wanted it to be something that could be experiential. You know, I don't know about you, Jeff, but I've been to a lot of conferences and stuff, and people hardly take the time to go to the bathroom, you know, let alone to relax. They just go from one thing to another. I remember many conventions I've come back from, and I was more tired than when I went, you know, because I never stopped. I didn't get any downtime. So we wanted to create where we do like Vision Quest, where we're on the grounds, where it's experiential, where it's shamanic. I'm going to teach some special sacred tools that align with nature, somewhat connected to what Andrew and Connie were saying on our show earlier. But I'm very excited. And then we're also talking about doing one in April. I won't give that one away yet,
because it's in the early stages, but more exciting things to come. And it's so great to be able to come back to the village. And I haven't seen the new cafe there, but I've heard great things about it.
Yeah, we somehow we disappeared. I don't know where it went off, but yeah.
Well, that's okay. You know, we just knew that. I mean, it was fun. It's like talk about, you know, walking our talk. We just got to trust, and Jeff and I, well, we just took over and started talking, and here you are again.
Okay.
Yeah. Sweet. So anyway,
well, we really walk our talk. We trust the loving universe.
The loving universe shows up for us in amazing ways.
Beyond our wildest dreams. I mean, it's absolutely true. I'll tell you, being at Sunrise Ranch with Barbara there and all the people, and being here in Maine, and there is generosity and kindness and love and abundance in the trust frequency. But I'll tell you, you got to walk it. And that's
Yeah. When people start talking about, the place and the country and everything, I'm like, if you traveled around, you would see it's so rich. It's so beautiful. It's so loving. Get out of the 24-hour consumption of false information. You know, I laugh every time. I don't laugh. I laugh and I cry every time I see the news about the sharks. And I tell people here, and I tell our children, since 1900, as in 1900, there have been 824 shark attacks in Florida since 1900. And the way it's presented, it's like it happens all the time. And so it's so good to be educated and to be aware. What part of Maine are you in?
We're actually in south of Brunswick. I was born in Maine. I'm ninth generation Maine.
Oh, that's
Maine,
too and funny. I did a speaking thing in Brunswick 2 years ago. My good friends live in Brunswick 6 months of the year. Lovely. Oh, it's so awesome there.
Yeah, well, I was born and raised nearby. I was born here, and I'm ninth generation Maine, and I'm actually a Mayflower descendant. So it's an ancestral mandate for me with these, with this Mayflower Pilgrim thing and the Native Americans. But really what my intent is to bring the Native American into the story, into a way that they can be proud of who they are and what they've done and what they've accomplished in the transformation of consciousness of humanity and what role they have yet to play in the evolution of consciousness of humanity. That's my intent, but there's also this ancestral mandate of these people who committed treason to separate from the Church of England and go out and try to start a community based on freedom of conscience. Temple. This is key. Freedom of conscience. And this is key with the Native way as well. And I'm sure with yours, with the direct connection to the divine. Okay, and that's where we're headed, in my opinion, because I see big pictures. I see the coming of peace on earth and heaven on earth. And that has to do with our hooking up to our divinity and acting accordingly with no fear, no doubt. You know, just, and that's the Native way. I'm sure you've learned that in your shamanic studies.
And I join you in that.
Thank you for listening. This is Unity Online Radio, the voice of an awakening world.
I'm Victoria Moran. Since we launched the Main Street Vegan podcast back in 2012, lots more people have discovered the way that moving in a vegan direction can infuse our lives with vitality, spirituality, and compassion. My guests are experts on every aspect of making this work in your real life and our real world. Join us for Main Street Vegan here on mindbodyspirit.fm.